welcome to a very special edition of To The Final Bell, a grand final edition. Can you believe it? We're nearing the end of October. Who cares? It's not about that one day in September. It's that one special day in October, and the Cats have made it. They're taking on Richmond. It is great to have you with us. We've appreciated your support throughout the entire year, as we've appreciated the support of Panther Tyres, who've been our sponsor for this entire elongated season, through breaks in the year, through footy frenzies, through everything. And we are now at a grand final. We're going to be talking to one of the men who's going to be wearing the blue and white hoops proudly on grand final day, Zach Toohey, friend of the podcast, former member of this podcast. A little bit later on, we're going to have a chat with the man who will be belting out the national anthem before the game, a Geelong boy now living up in Queensland, who's got a wonderful voice, always has had a wonderful voice, and will do him, his family, and no doubt Geelong very, very proud when he sings the national anthem on Saturday evening. And I am joined by, I'll get to your questions, we'll have some fun, we'll do everything we normally do, but I'm joined by two very happy men, certainly one very happy man. Scotty Gullen still holding on to the fact the Dogs are going to make a run at the flag this year, and Ian Norton's going to dominate, but Matty Stokes is with me, and Scott Gullen. Stokesy, I'll start with you. How good? Grand final week. The Cats are playing.
It's so exciting, Cameron. We've got to come to a realisation that we might not be the last team to play in a win a premiership. But I'm okay with that. I'm very okay with that. The cashies are gone. yours are still coming. Look, it is so exciting. Watching it on Saturday night, I don't think I've ever been so nervous to sit down and watch a game before. But within the first 20 minutes, my nerves had gone, and I realised that this team is more than capable of bringing home the bacon on Saturday night.
It was a special feeling on Saturday night, and the only little nerves that stuck with me throughout was we hadn't put the game away completely and we're missing those shots, and I kept thinking, oh, I couldn't come back and bite us, could it? But then they just went on with it and played superb footy. Someone reminded me the other day, they said, you could no longer be the last premiership captain of Geelong. And I said, well, you know what? If there's one man I'd love to hand that mantle over to in the entire world, it is Joel Selwood. What a career anyway. It's not going to be defined by what happened Saturday night. But what a magnificent bit of icing on the cake of Joel Selwood. 300-game player, longest-serving captain, one of the most courageous, great players in AFL history, let alone Geelong history. Best and fairest, All-Australian, multiple times for each of those. To then, not saying his career is finishing this year, but finishing it off with a premiership captain. I mean, that would just be too perfect, Scotty, for a bloke who, from the day he first arrived at the Cats, was incredible and still going strong.
Oh, you're totally right, Cameron. Yeah, icing on the cake, all those cliches. He deserves it. He's been an amazing leader, and I think we've led the way too. I think this podcast, we deserve to pat ourselves on the back. Clearly, the coaching staff listen every week. Our little jabs and sort of advice has been taken on board, and here we are. We got him there.
Yes, so we'll claim that big time, Scotland.
Don't worry about that.
We may overlook the fact we had our doubts about Harold and Hendo playing down back for a brief period of time.
Briefly those two, in March or whatever that was.
They just wound the clock back and said, hang on a second, we're going to lock this. Hendo has been unbelievable in these final series.
Mate, he's been, I'll put my hand up, I was the biggest doubter that you could probably play both of those two guys in the same team for a short period of time. But Hendo has been extraordinary. And sometimes you've got to admit when you're wrong, Cameron, which you never were able to do. When you're a journalist, you definitely can't do that.
Well, yeah, I've never been wrong in my career.
Even next year, I even go, you've deserved another crack at it, the way that he's played.
Hendo, absolutely.
And it's been amazing. And Harold, I secretly think, you know, after this game, he'll slowly just sneak out the back door. But incredible effort by him. To be able to get through this year the way he's done it, I don't think his family's up at the hub. I think they're already over in WA with his family. No frills, Harold he is, and he's going to go down as one of our greats. But still got a job to do, and what a way it would go out for, you know, a couple of our absolute superstars and one of the greatest superstars in Gary Ablett.
Yeah, we're going to get to Gaz in just a second. We can spend hours on him if you like. And Harry, with a huge job to do, if it is the last job he ever does in the blue and white hoops, Tom Lynch is going to be a big ask and could go a long way to winning the premiership for the Cats. We will claim one thing, though, gentlemen, here on the podcast.
One.
The feel of the team throughout the season has been different. And I mean that by the evenness of the spread and the responsibility. The improvement of Guthrie and Menegola and Parfitt and all of these players. And we saw it on Saturday night. The belief and happiness that I got watching that game when Joel Selwood was solid, Patrick Dangerfield was solid, but neither of them were remarkable. And we still beat the Brisbane Lions in a prelim final by 40 points. It goes to show how even the contribution is amongst the group now, rather than relying on monster performances from those two players.
Oh, 100%. It's something that we've banged on, and that I never thought that we'd be able to take the next step to get to a grand final, let alone win one, until we had that even contribution. So to be able to sit back over probably the last, I reckon probably the last 6 weeks in complete confidence in the group and the spread of the players has been... I think the coaches that are up there have to take a lot of credit for the way that they've been able to share the love, but also to the responsibility of the players. And I think, you know, even someone like a Mitch Duncan, who's taken his game to another level, who, yep, you know, he's probably in our top five most important players. I'd say he's in our top three most important players. For him to be able to even go even further in his career at, you know, 28, 29, there's a lot of people in there that need to take credit for the way they've done it. But we've been here before, Cameron. You can say all you like, but your season's defined by one game. And unfortunately, all the good that's happened could be pushed away to the side if we don't play well. For me, I'm happy that if we go there and we just have a crack. But I'm a Geelong man, and I've got a really good feeling about this weekend. Really good feeling.
Well, I'm with you. I mean, we will claim a lot of things because that's what us three do, but Sam Simpson we can't claim.
How good. Yes.
What I'm loving about him, boys, is he has injected almost single-handedly, I'm just going to play on. I'm just going to go because I know I can sidestep the bloke in front of me. If I'm in trouble, I'll go left or right. He just moves the ball on. That's what we've been calling. He almost single-handedly has made him go quicker.
And he doesn't fumble. He's one grab. Oh. His vision is good. And as you said, he has the intent to move it quick. Since they've up the tempo of their play.
Yeah.
They did it through the middle of the year when they played great footy. It slowed down a little bit right at
it
the end
did,
of the year.
And we were worried, weren't we? We were in trouble.
Tom Stewart, Lockie Henderson and Jed Buse from down back, they've got that same mindset.
Yeah, yeah.
Hendo's not quick at all, leg speed, but the second he gets the footy, it's gone.
He's gone, yeah.
And Sam Simpson does it, the midfield, and now you can see the forwards are starting to feed off that, and Dangerfield, as we've spoken all year, is such a threat when he's forward. That intent to up the pace. Stokesy, going back to the, I think it was round 17 game against Richmond, go all the way back to the preliminary final against Richmond, it was always this theme of control versus chaos.
Yeah.
And we tried to play keepings off. Do you think we've learned from that and say, just play chaos versus chaos and actually back in the fact that we'll clean them up?
I think what I've seen over probably last since that Richmond game is fun football. They seem to be enjoying their footy and doing a bit of smile on their face out there. And that does come when you're winning games of football, don't get me wrong. But when you're able to just play on instinct and play footy the way it should be, I'm not necessarily saying that they were drummed in to play a certain way. I just think they've realised what works with the team and the personnel they've got in that group. Like you said, the back line, it starts with the back line. Tommy Stewart was huge on the weekend and has been all year and has been since he came into the club. So people like him in the back line, Busey, who sometimes, you know, takes the game on, but sometimes you've got to live with the fails. You've got to live with the, sometimes he might not do the right thing. 8 times out of 10, going forward, playing on, you're going to have some, you're going to have a result on the other end. So you take those couple of times where someone does make a mistake. You know, Jack Henry, people were screaming at Jack Henry about him kicking the footy a couple of weeks ago. I mean, you're going to have to live and breathe, live and die with those decisions of playing on. But at least you're doing something and trying to create a game and a tempo that's worked for us.
What, wasn't Jack Henry superb on Saturday night?
Yeah, absolutely he was.
And, you know, I loved... So he has a down game, like a number of others, the first final.
Yep.
Fights back, quality against Collingwood, and then brilliant on Saturday night against Brisbane. Collar Jasny, playing on Charlie Cameron Saturday night. Cameron gets those two early goals. He's starting to do the little motorbike, revving things up. You'd be starting to worry if you're Collar.
Yeah.
But it looked like he had total... He's like, okay, he's got those two. He's not getting any more. That ability to push aside either a bad week, maybe in Jack's case, or a bad quarter in Collar's case and go, okay, I can't do anything about that now. I'll fix it up and make amends for it. Gee, that's a good sign. Because you know it's like, Stokesy, in a grand final, there's going to be something happen. You're going to make a blue. You're going to make heaps of blues. As a team, Richmond are going to get a surge and get momentum. The ability to stop that momentum and then push it aside and go, okay, this is what we get back to doing. That calmness is crucial.
I think, and that's when it comes to your leaders around you. I mean, Harold down back there and Hendo's been around for a long time. I know full well what something can happen when you get on top of someone. I mean, in Collingwood, I won't mention the Collingwood player, but once Hawkey got on top of someone, the amount of sledges that were going towards him from myself and Chappie and Steve, you could see him. He's... You can see him really dying inside.
That's why Ben Reid's retired.
So there is a difference between a prelim final and a final, but if you can have the people and experience around you to be able to then settle you and go, hey, mate, we've all made mistakes. It's a grand final. Who gives a shit? Let's move on. We've got a game to win. I mean, when we got into Reid that game, when Hawkey just absolutely started dominating, there wasn't one of his teammates who came up to us and tried to, you know, shut us up or get into Ben and say, mate, you're right. I think that's the difference between our group and Collingwood. I don't want to compare our club to anyone else, but I have faith that our backline players wouldn't stand for that. And also, too, they'll be able to get into the ear and say, you've made a mistake or he's taken a couple of marks, but it's time to move on and we're going to be okay.
A lot's been made, about last time they played, you know, and Hawkins, Bolter, but Gary Rowan wasn't there that day. We played the kid, the first gamer.
Ben Jarvis, yes.
Ben, poor old Benny Jarvis, who's never been seen of again. God love him. But it's wrong to put so much emphasis on Bolter v. Hawks. He did a great job because they were two or three men up on him. That won't happen. Rowan attracts Dangerfield, plays forward. It won't happen this time.
We didn't have Gary Ablett Jr. to be that night.
Yeah, exactly. No. They didn't have Prestier and Edwards and a couple others. I get
that. Yeah. Some good players coming in for both, but you're right. The dynamic is completely different, Scotty.
Yeah.
And even, especially if our... So when you play this control, just keepings off game against Richmond and think that it's working, really all their defenders are doing is gaining confidence because they're just set and they're saving petrol and they're just in a formation and the ball's sort of going sideways and maybe moving forward a little bit, but they're pretty much set. For when the ball eventually, inevitably, it's impossible to keep a ball off a team for a whole game, gets into chaos, or whatever you want to call it, and then they just go whack. When the ball is coming in quick, and there is an intent to move it quick, not every single time, not blindly, but the intent is still there to get it there quick. Well, as a defender, no matter how good you are, you naturally become reactive to your opponent because the ball's flying down. And then multiply that when an opponent is Patrick Dangerfield, it's Gary Rowan, it's Gary Ablett Jr., it's Tom Hawkins. The natural tendency, again, no matter how good you are, I saw Matthew Scarlett do it throughout his career. When the ball's flying down there and you're playing on a good opponent, you become very, very locked onto your opponent. And if we get that happening with the Richmond defenders, takes away a huge part of their game, their ability to work together and their ability to counterattack and get their game going. So it's a great point you make, Scotty. Our intent has got to be there with the ball movement as well as the personnel, though, for that reactive nature to set in for the Richmond defenders.
Totally agree. And what about the little man, little bald man? He had a fairly solid little reminder of how I travel when it matters. How good.
Don't you love that he can still, Stokesy, so times in his career, why he's one of the greatest to ever play the game, he could have 35 or 40 possessions and kick four and have 12 clearances and just blow it away with sheer volume of numbers and impact. Now, he can still tear apart a preliminary final against a team that finished second on the ladder with 14 touches.
Yeah.
And can still, but you walk off the field going, wow, that's Gary Ablett Jr.
I mean, yeah, it was great for him to just flick the switch. And it wasn't like, look, I think the game was already won, to be honest, but it was a nail in a coffin. To be able to sit back this week and watch two of the GOATs in our two sporting codes in Gary Ablett and Cameron Smith over two nights this weekend, we're just spoiled for choice of watching two guys in our eras that I don't think will ever be repeated in the short term. I mean, to see what... I'm an NRL tragic. I love my Rabbitohs. Unfortunately, we lost on the weekend, but to be able to sit back this weekend to watch Gary say goodbye to the game with a flag, and I'm backing we'll win the flag, and then watching Cameron Smith on Sunday do his thing out of dummy half, and hopefully the Storm get one. I mean, we've had a good relationship with Storm over a long period of time, our club, so... we've always won flags when they won one, so hopefully this week's no different.
I like the sound of that, Stokesy. You're right. Great call. Great call on Cam Smith too. Two of the absolute best of the best. And no better setting to take on Richmond. They're the reigning champs. They're going for 3 in 4 years, which puts them into a whole new level of team.
Yeah.
And talk about GOATs. Gary Ablett is and has set himself up there. But to your bloke who's closing in a hurry, especially with his finals performances, is Dustin Martin.
We've got to have a plan, Lingy. We've got to have a plan. Don't do the our system, we'll back our board. You've got to – don't get beaten by what you know.
I think there is a plan.
There has to be a proper plan.
Grigor and Dusty are very tight. So, me and Grigor have been working on a couple of plans all week to keep Dusty quiet during the game. We've got inside knowledge here of how Dusty works, and we're going to try our best to keep him nullified as much as
possible. Someone's going to have to sacrifice their role a little bit, Stokes. So you've got to pay attention to him. I mean, let's not be silly. He is the best finals player of the last 3 years. He just lifts. He wins them the game. So if you take him out to a degree, you're never going to – you got to pay attention to him. I hate how our system will beat their city. No, he's a freak. Deal with him.
Can we assume it's Kolodziejczyk again who gets the number one?
Well, that's
one
all right forward. But midfield, I want someone on him in the midfield too.
We haven't played a hard tag though.
I know. I'm not talking hard tag. But you got what? You're going to just let him go and create havoc?
No.
So you're going to back in your system, Cameron. I don't want that, Cameron. I want a plan, a Dustin Martin plan.
I've got a little idea up my sleeve what I'd like to see happen around stoppages.
Well, take me through it. Someone stand near him, possibly. I mean, Guthrie's the obvious, but maybe it's not him. I mean, he's in a great vote.
Guthrie and Duncan and Parfitt are creating havoc through the middle
Let
of the ground
go.
At the moment. You back them in. You know who I'd love to see when he spends time midfield? Dusty's more dangerous when he's forward. That's his...
Yeah, but he still impacts the game as a midfielder.
I agree. I'd love to see one just unbelievable performance from the skipper on him.
Yeah, absolutely. And he'd do it properly.
Very similar to Jimmy stopping Lenny Hayes.
Yep. Lenny Hayes, first quarter 2009, just was ripping us to shreds. And Bomber still spoke to me after the game and said how close they got to moving me from Del Santo to Lenny and thought, well, let's just see what can happen with Jimmy, and got Jimmy to buy in and played, as you boys know, unbelievable footy on Lenny.
Yeah.
Joel, I'm not saying Joel doesn't need a hard tag because that's not his go.
No, I agree. But you know what I'm saying.
A strong body, a smart body, a hunting, ruthless, unbelievable competitor like Joel.
A little bit lippy too. He's getting a little bit lippy in his old age.
Do you reckon he's finally getting grumpy?
I think he got grumpy a few years ago, Cameron. but I love seeing his little when he walks away, because I can just imagine that, how it was even when his first session at the club, where he walked away and you can see he getting more and more grumpy out there as he gets older. Yeah. So it's great to see that even him. Yeah, the flawless man that he is still has something about him that is quite funny.
We love it. What about the different week this week? There's no grand final parade. There was no Brownlow medal on Monday night. That happened Sunday night, just within the hub. There's not going to be 10,000 at training on Thursday. But the day is different, being a night game versus a day game. Anything to it, Stokesy? I mean,
I think the only bad thing I'd say about it is that the players don't actually get to experience what it's really like to play a grand final. And that's, I mean, at the end of the day, you're still playing the game. But the week leading into it is the best week of your life. Actually, of your sporting life, I should say. I'd get murdered.
Good boy. Well checked, that one. Just
good save,
Wilbur's running amok behind you.
Yeah, he is running amok. I can hear him. To be able to sit back and enjoy that you've actually accomplished something as a group, I know whether you win or you lose or not, but you get to the final game, you know there's no tomorrow, there's no training on Monday, and your family are involved in the week, you're able to actually sit back and enjoy a prelim final year, sort of like if we win, we've got to knuckle back down. If we lose, then you're probably getting pissed by Saturday night. But the grand final week was always a week where you could just, you know, my mum and dad always came and, you know, my sisters and that, and be able to enjoy the week together. You know, you've got the parade, you've got open training sessions, you've got other family members who are able to come and enjoy it. The hub, they've been able to do that by themselves and have their own groups of people that are able to embrace and enjoy the week that it is. But it is a special week, I think, for your families to be able to enjoy it and not to be able to have those people in there will be, it's not taking anything away from the grand final, but it does lessen the week. But I guarantee by 4 o'clock Saturday, everyone would have forgot about the week and what they've missed out on and worrying about the game.
Are we getting together, Matthew, on the Sunday to celebrate it when they win and carry on like old boys who...
Well, I just remember the Sunday when we won the first one and watching Billy Brownless carry on like he actually won. I can't say too much because Billy's let me into the pub the last couple of weekends. So he got me seats this weekend, but I loved seeing Billy there. I mean, and the older players there. Maybe we're not that old just yet, Cameron. Feeling it. But I just loved that it was a club we won. And, you know, Billy, obviously what they went through in their era and not being able to finally, you know, get that one win to get them across the line. I just loved that when we did win, it was everyone was in together.
I loved hearing that too. Sorry to jump in, Stokesy, but yeah, the stories of, I think they all met at Lord of the Isles, Barry Stoneham and Billy and Mick Mansfield and all those guys. And there were tears on some of the guys' faces. That they were so happy that the club had won one. And that was special to hear that. Yep. We didn't know. We didn't know if they'd be angry that they missed the opportunity and we got it. But no, it was all this great united feeling of we've done it, the club's done it. And that's the feel. Yeah, I want to watch it with Max and Henry because we've watched each of the finals so far and I don't want to change it or jinx it because I'm superstitious with that.
Yeah.
I want to celebrate with my boys, as in my kids, on Saturday night. But geez, I can't wait. The thought of getting together with you and some of the old boys we got to play with giant smiles on our faces and celebrating this new team and a new premiership team. That'd be incredible.
I think you realise too, and you don't realise the importance of winning premierships until you finish football. And then it's not even until a couple of years after. It took me a couple of years to realise what it actually means. So these players who've gone through this and this crap that everyone's talking about, it's not meaning that much this year to win the flag. It's absolute bullshit. This is the best flag you could win, I reckon, in a long, long time. To be able to sit back and see these games and know that you've been actually able to do that and go on the other side and win one, these guys will remember it forever. And it's like us and Otto. You know, I had to kick Otto out of the Cumorn on Saturday night. Never get too much to drink, but... Yeah, the relationships you have with these type of people. And, you know, even
that now, is a shock.
I do not believe that you kicked him out.
You I had to. He had enough. I have responsibility to Sarah Ottens to make sure that he gets under one piece. So
I see how much we've matured.
Well, this is frightening to listen to this.
You're in trouble with me and Billy Brownless are kicking you out of the pub. But, I mean, it's going to be an incredible journey for him. But I'll be at the pub on Saturday night, Cameron. So if we win, I'm sure Billy can get you in.
I'll be straight down there. There'll be a party down Packington Street, I'm sure, going on. But
yeah, good luck with COVID rules then.
Yeah. We better take a break because, as I mentioned, we are talking with the man who's going to be singing the national anthem. I know he can't get the team fired up, but the national anthem and that roar afterwards just naturally fires everybody up on the field. He will have his heart in the blue and white, of course, when he's singing the song, Tim McCallum. And our man Reg, Scotty, who dropped us from, ran away from the podcast, and his form got a hell of a lot better. So maybe that's on us.
I'm not sure whether we may have sort of ushered him out, but it's great to have him. He's got a soft spot for us. We did make him, obviously.
We did. So. We certainly did. We're going to talk to him a little bit later on. Let's take a break. We're going to get to your questions and have a chat with Tim McCallum up after the break.
Hi, it's Joel Selwood from the Cats. While we all support different footy teams, one thing we can all get behind is making good environmental choices. Momentum Energy is owned by Australia's largest generator of renewable energy. So supporting them means you're supporting Aussie renewables. So make the right call by joining today at momentumenergy.com.au.
Welcome back. It is great to have you with us on this grand final edition of To The Final Bell. Now, I'm sure on Saturday night, these guys are going to be under the pump as everybody's sitting back to watch and cheer on the Cats. There'll be pizzas ordered left, right and centre. Pizza and pasta, of course. Town and Country have supported us throughout the year as well. And Town and Country Pizza, continuing our extra COVID-specific policies and procedures to ensure safety of employees and, importantly, our customers, both in-store and on delivery, including no-contact delivery. With the introduction of a Tuesday night deal at all locations, customers can order $15 large pizzas, any variety, to make it easier for all to bring a little joy into their home. There is simple and easy to use online ordering, always available at townandcountrypizza.com.au with multiple payment options. One big question, Stokesy. Will Billy allow you to order a Town and Country pizza to the pub on Saturday night?
Well, Billy has learnt... over a long period of time, just let me go and let me do this.
Just to say yes to Matthew.
Just like Cameron used to do at the edge, just let me roll.
Yeah.
See, I tried to tell the security to not let you in, but that always failed, unfortunately.
No, because they were all the Kiwi boys and they all loved me, so you had no choice.
Yeah, they liked you way better than me. That was the problem.
Exactly.
Question time. We're going to get to Tim McCallum in just a second, the man who will be singing the national anthem at the Gabba. But Paul asks, are there any bets alive for Lingy and Richo this time around?
Oh.
Paul, I will be doing my best to avoid Matthew Richardson for the week. But we are working together in the lead up to the game.
Like
on
Cassius.
Channel 7. We're going to do a little bit of analysis and tactical stuff.
Oh.
Don't worry, it will be pure bias. There'll be just flat out Geelong from me, flat out Richmond from Richo. And I will be trying to avoid any bets. Actually, I should take a bet. Well, the Cats are going to win.
Yeah, I might be up in a bet.
Paul, I might think of something there. I might get something good off Richo. The Tigers have got us the last few times and I've always had to cough up. So now's time to cash in and get something back. Thanks for your question, though, Paul. The cheese connoisseur asks, Stokesy, what's the emotion like when the siren goes in a prelim final?
Wow. They're pretty emotional. you're very quickly celebrating, but then you really quickly turn into what's ahead. I felt 07 when we got over the line after Joel Corey's beautiful smother on Brian, I think his name was, and got us over the line. It was sheer just relief.
Relief, yeah, that was a big one.
Relief. But then you quickly, Bomber was always really quickly to go, all right, we're here now, we've got there, but no more slapping each other on the back, we've got one more job to do. And I think that was something that our group was really good at, was turning it from we're there, and that's something to celebrate, but we've still got a job to do. So it's a bit of a weird feeling, I think, after what's the siren goes on the prelim.
What were the prelims? It was Dogs 08, Collingwood 09.
Yep.
We lost the Collingwood prelim 10, and we beat West Coast in 11, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, a range of emotions. Different. Yeah, we had that first one, though, was the most memorable one of a feeling of
Jimmy Bartel jumping on the ball and not getting called for it geniusly. That was 07, was it? The close 07. One.
07. There were a lot of stoppages at the end there.
It was very clever from him.
A lot of numbers around the ball, and it was, yeah, that was relief because we played about as tight and as nervous and as apprehensive as we'd played all year. And Collingwood were brilliant.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was just, it was joy, but there was this wave of, oh, thank God. Thank goodness we've done it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was, you mentioned your big mate there, Brad Ottens. Wasn't he unbelievable in that game?
Yes, he was. Very good that game.
Good boy, Pil. Got us there. Alistair asks, Gary Jr. versus Gary Sr. In an around the world shot for goal contest, who are you taking?
Oh, wow. Well,
if it was
Gary Sr. kicked a lot of goals, so he must have kicked them pretty straight a fair bit.
Yeah, but he could spray a set shot every now and then. Gary Sr. kicked 14-7 once against Essendon. imagine someone having 21 shots at goal now.
No. It's a different world. It's like it never happened.
If that around the world included having to launch over a boundary, a ruckman in a boundary throw-in, I know you can't do that anymore, but and snap one, Gary Sr. gets that. From the boundary, it's pretty even. But I reckon a pure set shot, 45-degree angle, about 40 metres, 45 metres out from goal, I'm taking Junior. Matthew?
I'm not that old, Cameron. I didn't watch much senior. Oh,
yes, you are.
I'm not.
You're nearly 40. You're nearly 40.
Senior could kick it from 60, whereas junior can't. That's the one thing.
Yeah, but that's what happens with these old people. They put extra. Like by the time I'm 60, I would have been able to kick it 50 meters.
No, we'll never say that, Matthew. No. We will never ever say that. 35 will give you, but not 50.
All right, you're voting Junior as well then, Matthew.
Yeah, Junior.
Olivia asks, who's your sneaky chance for the norm? Thanks for all your work. Thanks for your work all year. Highlight of my week. Thank you so much, Olivia. That's very kind of you. We enjoy doing it, Olivia, so I'm glad that you enjoy listening to us talk nonsense. Who's the sneaky? Don't go the obvious. Don't go Dangerfield or Martin.
Tom Stewart.
Tom Stewart, like it. Scotland?
Let me think. Because I was going to say the obvious. Because I think if Dangerfield plays vaguely okay, Geelong's going to win. Not saying they can't win without him doing that, but if you know what I mean there. I would say maybe Mitch Duncan. He's in everyone's mind. If Geelong get on top, he'll end up with 30 touches.
If I'm going to go real sneaky then, because I was thinking Duncan as well, Parfitt.
Oh, well, he's certainly put his name up there, hasn't he?
With an outstanding prelim. Does he just enjoy destroying bodies?
Well, he loves contact. He's just and he's got tricks.
He's from Darwin. That's what we do. How we roll in Darwin.
GWS, can we send a little message? You're dreaming. He's not going to go anywhere.
Yes, we will get to a little bit of Jeremy Cameron. Brandon Parfitt will not be going anywhere.
No.
Neither should pick 11. But anyway, that's my... Marty asks, Lingy, just before you ran out on GF Day 2011, what was your message to the team?
Matthew, Marty, what did he fumble it out?
Marty, if only the boys would listen to me, I could tell you. Matthew?
When Dane Swan gets away from me, you blokes have to pick him up.
Go, boys. Well done. See ya.
And you never listened to me once, Matthew?
Did you, Cameron, you would have had to think about it, or did you try not and just try on the fly to say something silly?
No, I tried to go, I tried to not think about it too much, go a bit more off the cuff.
Let's go get them or something like that?
No, it was very much just a reminder of what the key focus areas were for us, what we need to lock in the first quarter. Anything more than that, anything bigger and grander or beyond the first 5 minutes, it's kind of pointless because people's heads, they will have forgotten about it by then. So it was hammering home a couple of our basic things. It was pretty, I was pretty boring, wasn't I, Matthew? Just,
Matthew wouldn't be listening.
I wouldn't say you were boring, Cameron.
but we I feel a big butt coming along here.
Nah, well, I thought you, and especially Scotty in 2011, what you were able to do is just give us a refocus part. Scotty, you know, whole week you talk about all these messages and then you're sort of colliding it into, you know, two or three really key ones. Then we go back out to the warm-up, we run out there, then all of a sudden your brain goes back to, I'm going to win Normie here today. And you go back into Cameron and then it brings you back in. So you and Scotty complimented very well, you know. But it was always a hard task to go after Scotty. You know, Scotty's really intelligent, got some big words.
Yeah.
He goes to Harvard. You went to St. Joey's. You play cricket in D grade. the big words just escape you, Cameron.
Marty, see what I had to put up with? That's what I do. As I looked around the circle, I just catch eyes with Stokesy and think, he's just having a laugh at me right now with what I'm saying. I did, on a serious note though, Scotty, I did have the luxury of total belief in the guys that I was looking at. As I looked around the circle, I am, as Stokesy said, just trying to refocus a couple of key areas. But I look around the group going, yeah, this is pretty comforting knowing I've got Selwood there and Scarlett there and Joel Corey there and Otten's there and just looking one after the other. After going, I reckon we can get the job done today. This is feeling pretty good.
You would have been looking around at Cal laughing, Stevie J just laughing. There would have been a few just shaking their heads at you.
Yeah.
No, you know who not to stand in a circle with. I mean, it was really clear and evident that you don't go near Joel Corey in the circle because he pretty much ripped his head off when he's got his arm because you could feel that he'd never say a word. He's still a mute. I still haven't actually heard him talk. But his intensity through his body would be huge. You know, Scarlo was the same. You know, Dasha was the most relaxed he could play in a grand final, be sitting on the couch. I don't think his heart rate changes. So you knew who you stood next to, you know. Stevie would be just talking about, I'm going to kick six or seven. And
just kick it at me. That's the only thing.
So you knew who to go to and who to stand next to and who not to. But I did feel sorry for you sometimes, Cameron, because that group was just a bit of a nightmare to deal with, I reckon.
I do enjoy reminiscing. It is magnificent that we are in grand final week because it gives us old boys a chance to reminisce and have a wonderful time. Thank you to all of our listeners who sent the questions in, as you've done all year. I'm going to keep on just rolling on here. This is fantastic timing. I promised we were going to have a special guest join us on the podcast, a man who will be belting out, maybe has the most pressure on him at the start of the game, will be belting out the national anthem in front of a big crowd at the Gabba and a big TV audience. Tim McCallum is joining us. Tim, welcome to you.
Hello, fellas. How are you?
Very well. Great to have you with us. Butterflies yet, or does that come a little bit later on?
Oh, they're slowly starting to linger a little bit. I think it's one of these things that you balance your nerves really well so that they keep you on your toes to make sure you're covering all your bases, you know, crossing your T's and dotting your I's. So they're healthy nerves, I would say. Yeah.
So now, Timmy, the national anthem, usually there's your own personal slant. Everyone does something different. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. What are you going to give us?
It was really funny because my best mate and I have this running joke. because I've sung the anthem over 300 times and I love singing it. And but he said, you got to mix it up. And, you know, and years and years ago, we actually came up with this version where we actually sang it to the Gilligan's Island theme song. So it was like, you know, Australians all let us rejoice for we are young and free.
Oh, but, I'm liking this.
I can absolutely promise you categorically, we've got the Queensland Symphony Orchestra and Chong Lim is the musical director. We've been able to arrange and we're going to produce a really beautiful, proud and really rousing rendition of the anthem to hopefully really set the tone for the game. It's going to be one of these ones that I'm hoping that it resonates from the players standing either side of me right through to someone on the other side of the world.
Hang on. No, it's not standing each side of you. Standing on one side of you and hopefully you're giving daggers to the other side. I'm reading in this. Is that true? Or how are we going to roll with this, Tim?
Only facing one way, fellas, and that's towards the blue and white.
That's it, my boy.
Well, for our listeners who don't know your story, Tim, you grew up in Geelong. You're now living in Queensland. That's why you're able to be at the Gabba and you don't have to go through quarantine or anything like that. But you grew up in Geelong a whole life. Can you run us through a bit of your story?
Yeah. Lived in Geelong for 30 years before I moved up here to Brisbane. So I'm a Belmont boy. Went to Belmont High. Same year level as Stephen King back in the day. So we had a couple of boys in the Geelong squad back then. Grew up, lived in Geelong. Pretty sporty and active, mainly in the basketball and athletics area, but probably predominantly my singing and my theatre was what I really wanted to do in life and what I love to do. And Geelong was a great, training ground for that kind of activity and love and passion for the arts.
Hey Tim, I'm a terrible singer. I never tried to sing. But we do have one person on our panel that used to love
building
out a few tunes at Lammy's. Were you ever happened to be in Lammy's at the time where Mr. Ling would take over the mic? And if you were, what was your ratings of his singing?
I'm pretty sure I remember those occasions where they were just basically trying to move people out of Lammy's because it was closed. So, sorry, Lingy, threw you under the bus, mate.
No, that's okay, Tim. I deserve it. Somebody should have parked the bus in front of the stage to not let me up there on a number of occasions. I've heard Tim sing many, many times before in Geelong, and it's fair to say he's got me covered by just a little bit, Stokesy. So I've got a little bit of work to do before I go sing the national anthem anywhere.
Timmy, we've talked about players' preparation. What do you do the night before? You know, in the steam room with the lemon tea, or make sure the voice holds up? I mean, what does a singer do before a big occasion?
It's a really good question. I probably should be doing that stuff. But to be honest, I relax and prepare better when I'm just being myself. I'm a pretty extroverted kind of guy. I love having a chat. I'm actually going to the pre game function just to soak up the atmosphere and
few
things.
Few beers, few wines. Yeah,
that's right. Hobnob with the VIPs, but because you know I'd rather be doing that than sitting in a change room, you know, or dressing room, doing my me, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's Lingy. Yeah, I've heard that from Cameron. That's exactly.
I'll still do my warm up, you know, prior to going out and have a quiet moment. But to be honest, if I spend too much time, you know, sitting there thinking about it. It kind of, you know, I reckon you lose a lot of energy doing that. So, yeah.
Tim, do you, maybe this doesn't happen until after grand final day, but you've done some remarkable things anyway, regardless of how it goes on Saturday night, which I'm sure it will go wonderfully, by the way. But just how incredible it is given, so you had the accident in the surf in Perth, is that correct?
Yeah, so I was 18 years of age. I left Geelong, flew over to WA to start a music theatre course at university over there. And I went swimming at Scarborough Beach. in Perth and dived over a wave, and unfortunately there was a sandbar on the other side, and I broke my neck, instantly paralyzing me from my chest down. So yeah, I now use a wheelchair to get around and no hand or finger function, and my life kind of changed, you know, in a split second in that moment. But you know, I wanted to be a champion singer, not a champion walker. So I just got back into singing and loved my music and knew that that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
But at that time, so there was a huge chance you weren't going to be able to sing. Is that correct?
Yeah. The doctors and nurses told me that I probably wouldn't ever sing the way I used to. My respiratory system is affected because of my spinal cord injury. So I don't have the use of a lot of the vocal muscles that able-bodied people would have. So I've had to adapt and change my singing technique, and I've created my own technique where I use a lot of my arms to use as leverage on my wheelchair. So for those of you who are watching really closely, when I sing the anthem, you'll see me do a couple of things with my posture and my arms to help me project and hit those high notes and sustain them. So yeah, it's and now I 21 years later, I'm singing better than I did beforehand. So maybe Lingy, you should adopt that technique and that might help. So
well, I reckon if you gave me 121 years, Tim, I still wouldn't get anywhere near you. It's a remarkable achievement, and I mean, for everything that you're doing, of course, but Saturday night will be fantastic, and just that extra special bit, living up there now, so that's your new home, but with a club from your hometown of Geelong, it must be incredibly special to have that full circle now, seeing at the AFL Grand Final with the Cats a chance to be the premiers.
Look, it's a real fairy tale, I reckon, and I'm a strong believer that, you know, all these things happen for a reason, and when the grand final was announced for me to be up here, to be played up here, I just knew that it was my time to just throw myself out there and try and get the gig, because I wanted to do it to represent, you know, all those people who had helped me get here. And Geelong has played a really big part in that. I don't think it's any secret that most of the people who know me know that. And I'm sorry, fellas, but I'm a third generation Saints supporter. My blood is red, white, and black.
Going so well, Tim.
I was.
We'll edit this.
Who put it on the podcast?
No. Let me redeem myself for a minute, because I think footy is one of these amazing things that can actually really unite a lot of people. And the Geelong town themselves and the football club have been a wonderful supporter of mine over the years since I had my accident. And they've given me opportunities like singing at the Geelong football team of the century. I also sang at Buddha Hocking's retirement and actually dedicated a song to him and wrote a song with him with Warwick Hadfield. And I've performed there at Cadinia Park out on the Oval. And so I have a long history with the club. And I feel like whilst I actually am, you know, that Saints member and supporter, I actually feel like Geelong, though, is my home team, if that makes sense. And I love it when the team does well for the city, because I've seen what a premiership can do to the town. And I grew up with a lot of the players and history. And Barry Stoneham was a teacher of mine for a while. So
don't say that too loud.
Very good teaching career for Barry.
What school gave him a license to be a teacher?
Do you know what? It was actually the best. I think he was a substitute teacher, it was the best 6 months, because he would actually come out at lunchtime and kick the footy with all the kids, and it was just the best time, because we had a Geelong footy player, you know, teaching us. So I don't think we learnt anything, but I think we got better at football. So, but I'm really all I wanted to say was I'm really privileged and really proud to represent Geelong, and you've got my support this weekend. I'll have the scarf with me as I wheel out, and I wouldn't be here today and on Saturday singing the anthem if it wasn't for the Geelong Football Club and the support they've given me. So I hope I do you proud.
Good luck, mate. You certainly will, Tim. Everyone in Geelong is very proud of you, as Scotty said, and Matty, good luck. Enjoy
Thank
it.
You.
It'll be an incredible moment. And it's still Stokesy that when the national anthem finishes and there's that roar that comes after it, that's still one that gives me tingles, goosebumps. It's an incredible moment.
Tim, just one thing before you, once you finish it and the player's about to roar. If you see number 4 for Richmond, maybe just... steer the steering wheel over, roll over,
or something
for us.
It's at night, so I could just blame it. You know, oh, I didn't see. Sorry. Is that your toe dusty? Is it?
No. Good luck, Tim. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the occasion. And thank you so much for having a chat with us on the podcast.
Thanks, Tim.
I appreciate it, fellas. Go Catters.
Good luck, Tim.
Hi, it's Joel Selwood from the Cats. While we all support different footy teams, one thing we can all get behind is making good environmental choices. Momentum Energy is owned by Australia's largest generator of renewable energy, so supporting them means you're supporting Aussie renewables. So make the right call by joining today at momentumenergy.com.au.
Welcome back. It is great to have you with us on To The Final Bell, the grand final edition of To The Final Bell. We are brought to you by Panther Tyres, as we have been all year. Big thanks to those guys for their support of this podcast and for everything they do. We love the members, sponsors, supporters of the Geelong Footy Club throughout this tough year. Hopefully, it's all been worth it because the Cats are in the grand final. Deakin University has been one of those as well. And digital is in Deakin University's DNA. With 40 years of experience in distance and online learning, discover why they're the number one Australian public university for overall educational experience. Premium, proven, loved. Study online at Deakin. Zach Tui, Reggie, is about to join us from the hub in Queensland ahead of the massive game on Saturday night against the Tigers. Before Reggie does jump on, boys, just want to quickly, we touched on it ever so slightly before. Jeremy Cameron has nominated the Cats as his preference after wanting to leave the Giants. Good news, obviously, for Cats fans, but a bit still to play it out, Scotty. Is it correct in saying that they will match whatever Geelong offers?
Well, that's the threat they're making. And obviously, there's a lot of different ways you can do this. You can, you know, back-end contracts, front-end contracts. But look, the positive is he wants to come to Geelong. So that's a massive tick for the club. How it happens, there's going to be fallout. There's going to be some young players who will probably leave, unfortunately, but that's just the way of the world in football. Geelong got 3 first-round picks, so they're in a great spot to make deals. So, I trust Wellesley. He doesn't give away the farm on these things, but it's going to drag out for a lot of weeks.
I read today with interest that they want an already contracted Brandon Parfitt.
Oh, it's not happening.
Sava Radicalea's name's been thrown up. All of this. Let's just say no. No, thank you. You know, well, you can look at draft picks and things like that. I was not too early, the draft picks, but I wouldn't have thought so, as Brandon Parfitt is
currently
playing a final series of absolute brilliance. And will have a big influence on Saturday's game. So, Stokesy, come on. That's not happening.
Well, Boo Boo's not going anywhere, hopefully. He's a very important, and he's going to be a very important for a long period of time. I say stuff you, GWS, for throwing this out to us on a week of our, a really important week for our players to have to deal with the crap that they're having to answer about another player. I think it's very unprofessional for them to throw it out there just because they're unhappy that a player wants to leave. But I think we talk too much about Jeremy Cameron. We forget about the most important players to talk about.
And that's, I like it, Matthew. I like it.
Our lovely Irishman.
That's a great segue.
The lovely Irishman himself.
Hell, man.
Just kicking back in the hotel room, feet up. Hello, Reg.
Hello, friends. How are we?
Cameron, do you remember last year when he was down on life? You know, we had to prop him up, carried him, and look where he is today.
Can you believe it, Reggie? You're in a grand final, mate. It's incredible.
Yeah, it is. I can't. It's surreal. Like, I've wanted the opportunity so bad for so long. And we've obviously come close on a number of occasions. But still haven't, like, when that final siren went against Brisbane, it was just the trippiest feeling I've had on the field. yeah, so I don't know. It's exciting, nervous and exciting.
How's the group been, Reg? I mean, obviously you've got a few blokes who've done that before, but you also have got a lot of older players who haven't, like you and, you know, and Hendo and Danger. Then you've got the young brigade. What's the mood been like? All the coaching staff from Nigel Lappin to, you know, the two superstars in Scala and Boris have been there and done that. So obviously got a lot of experience in the group and Scotty himself as well. What's the manner been like at the group?
Yeah, pretty good. In many ways, because of, you know, the year we're having, it's actually quite easy to treat it a bit more like a normal game. Yep. Now, clearly, it's not a normal game and we're very much aware of that. But there's not as much fanfare and there's no parades and, you know, the coverage isn't as intense as it would be if we were back home. So we can kind of keep it fairly consistent. And the last couple of weeks on field have been, you know, a couple of the best games probably we've played all year. So we're in a pretty good headspace. So yeah, it's just hopefully, and we have a pretty good record at the Gabba. So it seems like it's lining up for us pretty well, but we are playing the best team, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years. So it's going to be intense.
Take us back to Saturday night at the Gabba against the Brisbane Lions. And just throughout the game, in total control, fair to say, for the majority of the game, but not quite on the scoreboard early on. A couple of missed chances. I think Chris Scott spoke at halftime saying, basically, it's so honest. It was gold. We're dominating this game, but we just haven't finished our work off. What was the feel amongst the group? Did you feel like you were dominating the game as well and it's just a matter of finishing off? Or was there any little worrying moments where, oh, hang on a second, have we wasted a few? And what was it like out there?
Now, it felt good really early on in the game. You'd know what it's like, Lingy and Stokes. You can get a sense real early how the group is travelling. And there was a few signs early that really highlighted to me that we were probably on that night. Now, it was disappointing at halftime. I don't know what the margin was, but it was tight. And it didn't feel like it should have been that close. Now, that's good and bad. It's good for, you know, clearly we were the better team in the first half. But you don't want to let teams hang around too long, especially when they've got the home ground advantage with the crowd and stuff like that. So the most pleasing thing was we played really well in the first half, didn't take our chances, but we didn't let up at all in the second half. And every time they would come out and get a goal and look like they were getting some momentum, we'd go right up the other end and kick one ourselves. So I thought it was a pretty fairly complete game. Or as much as it can be in a prelim against, you know, one of the best teams in it.
Reg, you mentioned the Gabba. What is it? Why is this ground suddenly our favourite?
Yeah.
Dimensions, I mean, is there anything you can put your finger on?
Yeah, not really. I guess the dimensions seem to suit us, but I never really think greatly about the shape of the ground. And it just seems to lend itself to our style of play. So you can get deep. It's a bit like the SCG in some ways. You can get quite deep from quite far out. And that helps good, strong, contested teams, which we are. But yeah, I think we played, I'm not sure what we played there, five or six games by now. And I think in all those games, for the most part, we've been well and truly on top. Now, again, different prospects against Richmond, but not sure exactly what it is, but I'm not asking too many questions.
Hey, Reg, you're in the middle of Queensland, heart of NRL, NRL grand final this week. No Queensland teams in it this week, but how is it to the mood around the community and around and about? I mean, obviously you guys did your parade in the Ford Rangers the other day. I saw that had about 10 people attend the I mean, what's the feel like? I mean, it'd be extraordinary to have a grand final, to finally get a chance to really embrace the atmosphere of grand final week and what that all stands for, to then be on the Gold Coast with not really anyone really caring.
Well, I tell you what, I was thinking about this, but in many ways, it just perfectly fits the year, because although we've had brilliant support and, you know, there's obviously been a lot of work going on behind the scenes, we've been away for over 100 days as a group. And it kind of feels fitting that, you know, in the biggest game of all, it's still just kind of us doing it together. And look, for guys maybe in the first grand final, maybe it's positive that there isn't all that extra tension around grads coverage and supporters turning up to training and stuff like that. But I don't know, it feels like a fitting end to an incredibly strange year. Maybe that's me looking for the silver lining. I'm not sure.
Don't worry, Reggie. There's a lot of carry-on starting to happen down here in Geelong. We've decorated our house in the blue and white streamers. The kids have just had a free-for-all. So lots of fun carry-on here. From Saturday night's game against the Lions, two blokes at different ends of their career, and this is probably the most exciting bit. I mean, Gary Ablett Jr. just winds the clock back for a little bit of showtime for a bit. Sam Simpson comes in. I know he's a favourite of yours, Sam. Even when you were on the podcast last year and the year before, you'd always talk about how well Sam Simpson was going in the twos and just needed a chance. Must be nice, as now one of the elder statesmen of the group, to see this young generation come through, Parfitt and Simpson and all of those guys, and just stand up massively in finals. Coming into a grand final, you must be going, yeah, I reckon we're in pretty good hands, both at the older end of things and these young blokes.
It's nice, isn't it? Especially for Simsy, who, you know, he's only just come back into the side. It's not like what Jack Henry is doing and what Paf's done all year is remarkable. And carry it on into finals is ridiculous. But, like, at least they kind of had that body of work leading into finals. Simsy's just come straight in. I know he played a few games earlier in the year, but he's just come in and just gone. Like, his game against a couple of weeks ago was unbelievable. He was brilliant again yesterday. It just gets you up and about so much. Like, you look at, even as a senior player, you look at Gaz or Joel or Paddy and these guys, and it's like they make you feel, they make you stand upright and feel much more comfortable going into battle. Then you see Simsy doing it. It's like, or Parf. Like, Parf's a tackling machine. He's a little savage. I don't think people fully appreciate it. He's a savage. So it's just, there's such a positive feeling now that we have, we are not relying on any one player at all. Any two or three players. The contribution of this final series from everyone has been staggering, and it's been led largely by our younger boys.
We were discussing that just before, Reggie, that you just won a prelim final by 40 points, and you would say Patrick and Joel both were solid contributors on the night. They weren't best on ground by a country mile and the most dominant players going around. They were just two of 22 playing a really solid contribution. That, I mean, for a supporter and a watcher now, is fills me with so much belief that this is a really even contribution. So, backs up your point. Sorry to interrupt, Scotty. What were you going to say?
No, Rich, I just loved how you told everyone after the game on Saturday night that internet is in the island, so that's positive.
Yeah.
Have you had much reaction from home? I mean, two Irishmen in a grand final team, I don't think that's happened. We've had the odd one, but have you had many requests, or is it made its way all the way over there?
Yeah, it has. The carrier pigeons have landed. it's gotten quite a bit of traction back home, and it's getting a bit of... they've just gone back into stage 5 lockdown. So they need something to get them up and about. But it has gotten a bit of traction, and it's like... Obviously, Merrick's only been here for a few years, but I've wanted this desperately for 11 years now. And for it to fall at a period of my career where two of us are playing in the same sides, fairly special. If we can get the job done, it'll be just remarkable. But yeah, it's gotten a lot of coverage back home. The game itself is much bigger back home than it's been at any point over my time here. So that also helps. And for two of us to be in the same team in the grand final for the first time since 2006, that an Irish player's been in it, it's gotten huge coverage, which is great.
Canelli did his jig. Have you got anything planned?
I'm trying not to pass my mind that far forward. If you win, I will almost certainly do a jig.
Scotty, focus.
I figure if I do it, it then becomes a thing. And that means Merrick has to do it, because it's just rude if he doesn't do it. And then every Irish player from this point forward who wins one will have to do it. I think that's cool.
Hey, Reg, now I'm not talking about winning or losing, but obviously you guys are in a hub. You come into it, there's only so much the AFL can keep forking out. How till you go into your next stage of your holidays and getting away from each other, because I know you love each other and your teammates, but I'm sure that you can't wait to get the F out of there and get away from each other. What's the movement after the game? Have you guys been spoken about what happens next week?
Now we'll get all the meetings and all that sort of stuff done as quickly as possible, I'm sure. We'll spend the first couple of days after the game really bonding. And I'm pretty sure everyone's kind of planned for where they'll end up being. Most blokes will try and get home if that's feasible, which it's not really for everyone. But then it'll be a couple of weeks up here, relax, without all the restrictions that we've had over the last 100 days, and then get home. I'll be going straight back to Geelong once I recover.
Well, I think if there's anyone in the history of the Geelong Footy Club that a group of blokes deserve a beer, it's you win or lose. But bloody proud of you, mate, and what you boys have been able to do and achieve up there. But one more game to win, and then me and Cameron can carry on like we've won as well. So, the all I'm going to say is get your brownie points up now, mate, because there's a lot of bad stuff comes up.
I've told Beck for years, if I'm ever fortunate enough to win a flag, she will not see me for 2 or 3 weeks, so she knows it.
Well, good to be well prepared. Stokes and I will be tearing apart Sunday afternoon if you boys do get up Saturday night. We will, it'll be a very happy moment, but there's a big job to do. Last one for me about the game. I suppose it doesn't really matter because you're used to night footy, and if you've never been in one, you don't know any differently. But does the night grand final do anything for the group, or
no,
is it just irrelevant?
Yeah, I mean, our last few games have been night games and they've gone pretty well. And like I said, it's a little bit easier to treat this game like another finals game in terms of the preparation. But again, it's not like I've never played in a lunchtime grand final, so I have nothing to compare it to. So, the nighttime final's fine.
Scotland, anything else that you'd like to send Reggie off with? Words of wisdom?
We love him, and we're proud as a podcast fraternity that you've done this for us, Reg. It means a lot.
Yeah. How's the other podcast going anyway at the moment, Reg?
The Elephant Rope.
We packed all our stuff 110 days ago and brought it with us, me and Hendo, and it has not left the van. It's been sat like procrastinated. I haven't had time with all this, you know, not being able to leave hotels. Just haven't had any time.
Well, whatever Hendo's doing at the moment, just make sure he keeps doing it, because Hendo is on fire.
How good. He's a freak.
Loving it. Reg, thanks so much for coming and having a chat with us. As Stokesy and Scotty did say, good luck. We are very proud of what this group's been able to do, how united you've stayed throughout this tough year. An incredibly exciting challenge against the reigning champs on Saturday night. Can't wait to watch you boys play. Good luck, mate.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Always love catching up with Zach Tui. Hopefully him and the boys have a fantastic game Saturday night. That is the end of this podcast. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the grand final. One last thing to say, boys. Go Cats! Go Cats.